Welcome to Mental Healthy, where we share the stories and expertise of professionals working diligently in the field of mental health. I'm your host today, Dr. Kenyon Knapp. Well, welcome everyone to the Mental Healthy Podcast. We're glad to have you with us here today. And once again, I've got some really neat guests joining me today. I have Dr. Capri Brooks, who's one of our core counseling faculty members here at Liberty University. She has degrees from Mississippi State, master's in marriage and family counseling from New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary, her EDS and her PhD from Mississippi State University. So she's one educated lady. And then her husband is joining us today, Dr. Jason Brooks. I got two doctors on the program today. He has a bachelor's degree from University of Mississippi, master's from New Orleans, master's and doctorate degree from New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary. So welcome to the program today. I'm glad to have you all with us.
Thank you for having
us. Thanks. Glad to be here.
Yeah. They're speaking about a topic that I think a lot of people listening will relate to. It's about ministry stress. A lot of the listeners might serve in various areas of ministry, but you guys work more full-time in ministry. Jason, you're a pastor of a church in Oxford, Mississippi right now. And then, of course, Capri is a pastor's wife. And so you guys are in the fishbowl, as we say, right?
Absolutely. Yes.
So let's talk about ministry stress, because there's a whole bunch of really distinct things that pastors deal with that others may not understand or may not have lived out like you have. I know that you two have presented on walking through ministry stress as a couple previously. How did you guys get to that topic of ministry stress?
Well, it came from, like most things do, from personal experience, unfortunately. I've been in ministry in some capacity or another for about 25 years now. I've been everything from a youth intern to a student pastor to a worship leader. That's my current role is as worship pastor, and have been in several different churches over my ministry, and got to a point a few years ago where I was starting to notice some symptoms of burnout, some of the common things. And actually, let me rephrase that. I was walking through them, and Capri was noticing them more than I was admitting to myself that were going on. So, just some of the common things that you see in this with stress and burnout, from the irritation, from the lack of confidence, from questioning, am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing? This is, is my calling genuine? I'm going through this hard time. Even feelings of depression, of just lack of interest in some things that normally I was pretty passionate about. So through just a process of circumstances that were going on around me in ministry, in my church, we were facing some difficulties and some trials there. Just through a process of that, found myself in burnout in ministry. And so out of that experience, we and walking through it together, we came to a point where, we felt like, let's share the story. Let's try to help others in ministry, other couples, other families in ministry, maybe navigate these waters a little better, and have a little more awareness. That's kind of where we came from in getting to this topic.
Now, was that hard for you guys? Admitting it per se, because I've heard some pastors say that there's like this perception that you have to have everything perfect all the time or something like that, and never have stress or never have burnout. Like, was it hard to sort of admit burnout or even say it publicly?
So coming from a counseling perspective, he's got the best and the worst of both worlds, right? Because I bring all that to our home. So one morning I had noticed it in his life, and we were sitting down one morning, and I remember just looking over at him and saying, I think you're depressed. So I think just noticing that as a spouse, noticing those changes and bringing those to the table, because I think you're right. There is the perception that our life is supposed to be perfect, that a pastor's life is great. We have it all together. and everybody's watching, so you don't want to let them down. So I think it was probably a little harder for him working in the counseling field. I know the reality of just stress and burnout and anxiety. And so I think I was able to take a step back, maybe a little bit easier than him, and just kind of bring that to him one day. But I would say it had definitely come to a tipping point when I even verbalized it.
Yeah. And and when she verbalized it, you know, for the first time, I was like, you know what, that you're right. I am, you know, and it does go back to that point about, you know, in ministry, you carry this weight of expectation that you're supposed to have it all together, and you're supposed to, you know, you're not supposed to have, you know, sin in your life or these hard times, you know, and you're supposed to be the example of godliness to your congregation, which, you know, there's kernels of truth in that, but there's a total disregard sometimes for the humanity of the minister, and, you know, and how those expectations are misplaced sometimes and too much. And so that it did take a lot some introspection there to come to that point where, yeah, I agree with you. I am depressed. And so let's take some steps there to address that.
Yeah. Of course, when I hear you say that, it reminds me of, you know, the man after God's own heart, David, who said, "Why so downcast, O my soul?" You know, so it's like you're in good company sometimes when you're going through some depression. You know, it's not like anyone else never goes through that. But now you guys have been doing some ministry presentations on this, I've heard you say. And I guess one of my questions is, as you've been presenting it to others about burnout and things like that, how prevalent is it, is ministry stress and burnout with other people you've met?
Yeah, that's a good question. There is some research out there on it. You know, Barna does a lot of research, ministers, and it is surprising when you start looking, especially at the research that's come out post-COVID, because just like it changed other aspects of our world, it changed churches a lot. But according to Lifeway research, about 63% of pastors say that stress is a mental challenge they face in ministry. And then a 2022 study from Barna says over half of pastors have considered quitting full-time ministry due to the immense stress of the job. So I think it's more prevalent than a lot of times we realize. Because when I think about over half thinking about walking away, you know, I think that the stress is a lot of times coming from the job and just the stress of being living in that glass house.
Mm-hmm. It reminds me, though, you know, I mean, there's that, and I don't have the reference in the top of my head, but there's that verse that says, you know, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world. And it's like that first part of that verse, in this world you will have trouble. That's for everyone. It's like it's not. And when we do have trouble and we have stress, it's like we're all like shocked or something, as if it's something that the Bible didn't tell us was going to happen.
Right.
You know? Exactly. I mean, you look at Paul, the life of Paul in 2 Corinthians, he mentions how he was in a season of ministry where the pressures were so great that they were far beyond ability to endure, and that he was even going through these feelings where he expected to die. I mean, Paul was a great example of understanding how crushing the stress of ministry can be.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's a great example. Well, let's put a little happy side on this, or maybe a therapy spin on it. Because, I mean, I know everyone's going, wow, life is hard. How can a minister assess help if they are, how can they assess themselves, or how can they be assessed if they are struggling with burnout? And then, of course, Capri, here you are as a pastor's wife. What can you do to help in a situation like this?
Well, you know, not every pastor has a counselor for a wife. And so you know, you have to know what resources and tools are out there. We've mentioned Barna already. He's got a great metric that's a risk metric for pastors, for a pastor to go through. And it's a list of spiritual factors. It's a list of relational factors, emotional factors, where, you know, someone can kind of gauge where they're falling on that list of metrics and determine, or in a lot of ways, you know, if you're to the point where you're taking a risk metric, there's already a level of self-awareness that, hey, something's not right with me right now. If I'm to the point where I'm taking a risk metric to figure out whether I'm burned out or not, chances are you probably are burned out. This is just, it's just approval of that, confirmation of that. And so he's got a great risk metric that you can find online that is a great starting point for that, and identifying maybe where you are on that burnout scale and that stress scale for sure.
I think it would also be a great tool to use as a counselor if you're working with ministers, or you have, you know, a minister come in, like to be able to use that risk assessment there would be great. I think too, as a spouse, doing a lot of listening and a lot of watching, right? Paying attention to your spouse. You know them better than anyone else, you know, on this earth. And noticing the signs, paying attention when they're doing something or when there's a prolonged season where you feel like they're just disconnected. Maybe you can't put your finger on it. A lot of times pastors don't want to bring the work home, which is a whole nother topic, but you know, paying attention and not being afraid to verbalize, you know, to your spouse what you see and just talking about it.
And at this, just to piggyback off of that, you know, when I was cutting my teeth early in ministry, and even going through my seminary education for my master's degree, there was this kind of a prevailing thought and that was both spoken and implied that, you know, as a minister, you keep whatever's going on at work, you keep it there. You don't tell your wife, don't bring that stuff home. And while I understand some of the heart behind that, it's totally a misguided concept, you know, that I was raised up under, that I was trained under that. And so for many years, I thought that's how I was supposed to operate. If I'm going through something at church, you know, I come home, I don't need to share that with my wife, but man, how much division does that create, you know, between us, the spouse? You know, there's got to be that connection and that support system with your spouse more so than with anybody else on the planet. And so not holding that in and recognizing the need to communicate and to share the burdens that are going on in ministry with your spouse is important, because your spouse is walking through ministry with you and standing by your side as a ministry partner.
Yeah. You know what I'm thinking too, Capri? This is probably hard for both the wife and the husband if they're going through burnout. And then, like, I think about the times in my life where I've been through some burnout too. It's hard for me to admit burnout because I'm a bit of I'm a bonehead sometimes. And, you know, and there's been a few times when my wife has pointed out things to me. If I perceived it as like a weakness or something like that, or that I was maybe not as healthy as I could be, it took some humility for me to admit that to myself, or even admit it to her. As you've worked with other couples with this, have you run into that as an issue of, like, I guess, resistance to admitting burnout or things like that?
I think it's definitely a challenge for ministry couples, just because there is the perception, and it's interesting. Even though, right, the confidentiality in a counseling setting, there's still, I think, that resistance and that pressure to be perfect and to not really talk about the weaknesses, talk about the struggles that are going on in the home because of the perception. And I think that perception, a lot of times, I can speak for myself as well, like, carries over, even though I know that it's unrealistic pressure, and I know all the right things. I still carry it sometimes. Mm-hmm. I still go to church smiling after I've yelled at my kid in the car because we're late, or, you know, I still feel that pressure to present myself in a certain way. And sometimes, you know, I think as a spouse, it's not only for myself, but for him. Yeah. I don't want anything to come down on him or anybody to say anything negative about him because of me. And so I feel like that secondary pressure to be what the congregation needs me to be because of ramifications that he may experience if I say something out of turn, if I show up right unprepared, or whatever the case may be. And so it's not only the responsibility that I have for myself, but also in protecting him and caring for him as a spouse, which is a whole nother layer of stress.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, you're right. That's the phrase I was about to say, is that there's so many layers to this. It's not just one of you has stress or whatever. It's both of you, and your relationship is all in the mix there. Well, I know you've helped other people walk through this in ministry stress. How can a ministry couple walk through the stress and burnout together? Like, how can they make the best of it and cope best?
I think for us, what we have found is kind of get back to the basics, right? There are so many different things out there that you can read about this, but it kind of boils down to those basic spiritual disciplines, I think, in a lot of ways. I think one of those, the first thing for us has been prayer, really seeking the Lord in this. I think sometimes when we have hard times in our life, our gut is to turn away from the Lord, right? Like, we're going to handle this. We're going to take care of this. I'm not good enough to go to him. I'm in this bad place. And so I think there's a lot of guilt that comes with that. And so I think turning to the Lord in prayer, we've been reading a lot about prayer lately, and really just bringing those earnest desires of our heart, the cries of our heart. We see that in scripture as well, but also not just individually, but together, praying together. And it's just that consistent spiritual discipline. You know, James 5:16, the earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. And so just that earnest prayer of our hearts before the Lord.
And as a couple, you know, with prayer, nothing is going to soften you towards one another or unify you together like praying does. Getting on your knees with your spouse in humility before the Lord and just laying your soul bare in prayer is such a unifying element of a marriage relationship and the spiritual relationship of a marriage. And sadly, I mean, not enough couples are praying together. You know, you ask a husband and a wife or a minister and a wife, you know, about their prayer life, they would probably say, yeah, we pray. Prayer is important to us. But then you ask a deeper question, how about praying together? Some of the research a few years ago revealed that only 11% of couples pray together on a daily basis. And that's painfully low. So it starts with prayer as a spiritual discipline.
What are some other maybe disciplines or things like that that you all use with people?
But you know, like Capri was saying, it's the basics. It's spending time in the Word. It's spending time communicating with each other. You know, not only you communicate to the Lord together, but communicating with one another. And so, spending those times in conversation and accountability with one another, investing in that relationship, the spiritual relationship that you have with your spouse, provides a foundation, a firm foundation that allows you to walk through the difficult and stressful times together on so much more firm footing. And so just getting to those basics, wouldn't you say, Capri?
Yeah, I think so. I also think just even talking about it, like we've found, you know, daily's great, but even if you can't do it daily, where you sit down and talk together about what God is teaching you, what God is revealing, what are you reading in scripture, on a weekly basis, I think is good. If you can sit down once a week and kind of just almost catch up spiritually, right? Like, what has God taught you this week? What has he revealed to you? We've had seasons too, where we kind of decided on a Christian book to read together. We read it during the week, and we read so many chapters, and we almost have like a couple's book club on Friday mornings, and where we kind of discuss what God revealed to us that week. We've also had seasons where we've done specific Bible studies together, where we've, you know, kind of been able to dive in the Word and look at the same thing. And so that kind of changes for us from time to time, but we try to make sure that we are always checking in spiritually as well as praying. I also think another thing that we found is part of that piece is accountability, you know, making sure we each are growing, you know, and in the Word and holding each other accountable for that, as well as like setting boundaries. That's, I think, been a very big thing in our marriage and just with couples in ministry, is setting those clear boundaries of church and home. Because church for a lot of people is their escape, is their, but for us, it's Jason's job.
It's my occupation.
So occupation slash an identity, right? Yeah. Not just an occupation for a minister, but an identity as well. But we've done pretty good over the years about when we go to a new church or to really address, Jason always asks, you know, what are your expectations of my wife? What are your expectations of my kids? And making sure that the church doesn't see me as just an unpaid staff member, but that I have a specific calling that the Lord has put on my life. And sometimes that involves doing things at church, but then it also is a separate calling as well with counseling and the work that I do at Liberty.
And some of that preventative, I mean, as you walk through stress and burnout together, one of the preventative measures in that is boundaries. It's establishing guidelines that you're not going to waver from to help stem the tide of some of these expectations, some of these responsibilities that might lead to burnout, it might lead to stress. One of the most profound things that I've heard in the past few years was by a gentleman named Andy Rozier, and his quote was that for ministers to refuse to sacrifice their spouses and their children on the altar of busyness. And that is such an important thing for ministers to set that boundary and not allow busyness to sacrifice the time that they invest in with their family. So boundaries is a great preventative step, a necessary foundational preventative step in this process of walking through and avoiding some of the ministry stress.
That reminds me of, there's a number of places in the New Testament where it says when Jesus was ministering to a crowd, it said he would withdraw from the crowd and go to lonely places and pray. And so even though he kept doing ministry and all, he did take breaks and he did pray because he was fully God and fully man. And part of being fully man is you got to keep your sanity sometimes, right?
Exactly.
It is. And I just think that, you know, the responsibility in ministry, if you think about it, to be open, to be accountable, to be ethical, moral, and holy, like, is greater in ministry than any other vocation. And so I think setting those boundaries around family time and around practical things, like when you're off, right? So when we go on a vacation, Jason's very clear with the staff to say, hey, I'm not going to answer emails during this time. I'm not going to answer calls during this time if it's an emergency only. And so even some of those clear boundaries that he has conversations with the pastor at the church to let him know, like, where those boundaries are for our family. Because we have learned, right, through the 25 years that if you don't intentionally get away, if you don't intentionally set those boundaries, then someone will definitely make their way into that, you know, guarded time.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you used a timeline there a second ago. It's been about 25 years for you guys. So is there anything in your lives that have changed over those 25 years since you've been walking down this road, and maybe things that have changed so you wouldn't have to go through the same burnout kind of stuff again?
It's a good question. A lot has changed in 25 years.
A lot has changed in 3 years. 2 years.
Give the listeners a feel for, like, what are some of the things you've learned, the little nuggets of wisdom that you've you know, grazed in during this time that you've learned about?
Yeah, I think some of those we've already mentioned. I think that intentional prayer, the intentional Bible study, and accountability for that as well. Investing in our relationship has been huge, and just making time to spend time together, to prioritize each other, and to also set aside, you know, clear boundaries for family time.
Mm-hmm.
I think also just learning through our experience about the importance of self-care and soul care,
mm-hmm.
and really just practicing some of those things that we really need to implement consistently.
And I think that's been the biggest, probably the biggest revelation in my life in my 25 years of ministry, is over the last few years realizing how important self-care and soul care are for me as a minister. You know, I would say I always had an awareness that, yeah, I need to take care of myself. I need to take care of my soul. I need to, you know, be growing as a Christian myself and taking care of myself. But it's not until you walk through those truly hard seasons of ministry and life that maybe that point is driven home. And so these last several years, I have realized in a new way, in a so much deeper way, how just how important self-care is and how important soul care is and how vital they are to me being the not only the type of minister I need to be, but more importantly, what kind of husband I need to be and what kind of father I need to be. If I'm not taking intentional steps in self-care and soul care, then I don't stand a chance of navigating all those worlds successfully in the way that God has called me to. So that's, for me, that's been the biggest revelation and the biggest change for me.
I think another thing too is getting over the stigma of counseling. Like when you know, the day I looked at him and I was like, I think you're depressed. And we kind of hashed that out a little bit. Even it still took a little convincing for him to let me make that appointment. And it was me making the appointment and getting into counseling to say, hey, you know, we all go through hard times. Just because you're a pastor doesn't mean you don't need counseling. I think pastors a lot of times recommend counseling to others, but going to it seems to be another hurdle. And so I think that has been huge with dealing with the just stress and burnout that has come over the years. And finding those people, you know, relationships for ministers, I think, are a little bit different because of the expectation that is put on them. And so feeling like you can be open. So I think finding your people is another tool that has been, you know, we've come in awareness to over the years, is just, even if it's one person, find someone that you can be yourself with and be real with.
Mm-hmm. Apart from your wife.
Right.
Or your spouse.
Absolutely. Now, you used some phrases there a second ago. You talked about self-care and soul care. And I know in the mental health fields, you know, self-care has been sort of a buzzword for a while, and we sort of talk about that a good bit. But soul care seems a little more unusual, and maybe some of the listeners might be less familiar with that. What do y'all mean by soul care, or how could a person maybe do soul care?
Soul care, like the phrase says, it's taking the steps you need to spiritually within your soul to make sure that you are standing on the firm foundation of Christ. There are a lot of aspects of that. One is, and you alluded to this a few minutes ago, that idea of solitude. You know, Jesus himself often withdrew. The thread of his ministry is, you see, time after time in the Gospels, of how, you know, he had this big ministry moment, and then he didn't withdraw with his disciples or with, you know, even the inner circle of disciples. He withdrew by himself. He went by himself and had that time one-on-one with the Father. And so solitude is about creating that space where you can reflect, that space where you can pray, that space where you can just be intimate, thinking and listening, that's another thing that I'm trying to learn more and more, is, you know, not just to get away and talk to the Lord, but get away and listen for the voice of the Lord through the Word and through prayer. And, you know, that conversation's a back and forth. It's supposed to be a back and forth conversation as we do that. So that solitude. But another aspect of soul care is that idea of Sabbath. And it kind of ties in together there, that time where you are setting aside, not a vacation, not just a time off from work. It's different than just a day off from work. It's an idea of pulling yourself away and being intentional about stopping and resting and delighting in the Lord and contemplating with the Lord, and that idea of sabbatical, that prolonged time of rest. Make sure that, yes, you're taking that Sabbath, which is a commandment to observe the Sabbath and keep it holy, which is so hard for ministers, because a lot of people's Sabbath day, they would say, is Sunday, but Sunday's a work day for me as a pastor. And so I've got to find that time where I am practicing Sabbath so that I am being renewed and refreshed and recharged every week within my soul. And then in a bigger sense of that idea of Sabbath is the idea of sabbatical, which you hear a lot in the education world, where, you know, professors will take a sabbatical, but for a minister to take a sabbatical is very rare, where you find churches which allow their pastors or encourage their pastors to take times of sabbatical. But what we're seeing is that for ministers to be have this feeling of restoration, that has become increasingly important over the last 3 years post-COVID is a whole new set of stresses have entered church life. You know, taking those sabbaticals, whether it's every year or whether it's every, you know, whatever the system is, every 3 years, however it's set up, but making sure that you have that space and that ability to get away for more than just an afternoon. It doesn't have to be, you know, a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks. So, you know, but making sure that it's more than just an afternoon, that it's a couple of days where you are getting away and experiencing that prolonged period of rest to recharge and refocus the soul. And then the last thing when I think of soul care is just the idea of it goes back to the spiritual disciplines. So there's spiritual disciplines for a reason, you know, and to have those times of renewal and guidance where we're in prayer, we're in Bible study, we're meditating on the word, we're meditating in the presence of the Lord and having those personal times of worship throughout the week. So that's kind of what I think of with soul care. It's solitude, Sabbath, sabbatical, spiritual disciplines.
That's great. I mean, and I love the way you mentioned the command there. You remember the Sabbath to keep it holy, because there's so many, you know, Americans and Christians who think that any kind of rest is laziness, and it's not. I mean, God commands it. So it's like, you know, and God knows how weak we are. That's why he calls us sheep, you know, and we're stupid. And we just run as if that's more effective. But we need that break.
And God himself, you know, he modeled Sabbath, you know, in the creation story. You know, after each day, he rested. He practiced Sabbath. So he set that example from the beginning.
Absolutely. Goodness. Well, I tell you what, we've covered a lot of ground here, but I try to always wrap up these interviews with asking people, is there anything else you'd like to say to, you know, people listening, whether they be ministers or ministry spouses or not, or just maybe people who are walking through stress and burnout? What are some final thoughts you might want to share?
I think one thing would be that when you face these hard times, remembering that as spouses, yeah, you're not facing the battle alone. You should face it together. Communication, I think, plays a key role in that, and supporting each other during those times that you are struggling, you know, emotionally, spiritually, whether, like you said, whether it be ministry stress or another kind of stress and burnout, but relying on each other and then ultimately relying on the Lord's strength. You know, you don't have to do this alone. He wants to carry us through these times, but we have to allow him to.
I think from my seat, as a minister, as husband, as father, the verse that comes to my mind over and over is the humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. And so approaching my ministry and my relationship with my wife and my children from a place of humility means admitting that I'm not always going to have it all together, and I'm not always going to be, you know, in that place of strength. And when I find myself in those times when I can feel the stress, because it's not, you know, it's not a one time you deal with it and it's done, right? Mm-hmm. It's a constant thing. And so you've got to, in order to navigate that successfully, I've got to humble myself before the Lord, but I also have to humble myself before my wife and before my children. And to, if I can operate from that place of humility, then I'm going to set myself up to grow and to navigate those waters better.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I know you all have been presenting on this to some different pastors and other ministry settings. Are there any resources that you might recommend to people listening, things that you think might be helpful to people if they really connect with this topic?
Yeah, I think so. One book that I have read recently is Raised to Stay. It's by Natalie Runyon, and it really is just talking about surviving in ministry. Well, I guess it says persevering in ministry when you have a million reasons to walk away. Mm-hmm. And so she kind of tells a little bit about her journey in ministry and growing up as a pastor's kid and then walking in ministry as a worship leader. That has been a good book that I've read. I think also Jason has utilized some apps. He's definitely more techie than me. But to help with the solitude, I'll let you share about those.
The 1 minute pause app is a great app to kind of help with some of that Sabbath and just that pulling away and focusing on the Lord. That's a great app that's out there. And just walking through some times of rest with that. Again, we mentioned that Barna tool. That's a good one to even to use as a checkup tool periodically, maybe even yearly, to go through that. Replenish is a book by Lance Witt that probably meant the most to me. Walking through this recent season of burnout, man, when I read a book and I underline and I dog, you know, kind of turn the corner of the page down where I want to remember something. And I remember when I finished that book, almost every page had a mark on it. And so it's called Replenish by Lance Witt. That was such a huge book, the Lord used that to help me walk through that. So that's the biggest, some of the biggest resources.
I think there's also a book for me when we kind of started this journey and realizing where he was. We had probably not been implementing as many spiritual disciplines in our marriage as a couple as we should. And so there's a book by Jennifer Smith. It's 31 Prayers for My Husband, Seeing God Move in His Heart. And that was a great tool for me because I felt like I didn't even know what to pray. I didn't know where to begin. And so it was a great place to help me get started. And how do I pray for my husband? How do I support him in this? And so that kind of got me jump started on just really being in the Word and in prayer for him.
That's awesome. Those sound like great resources. And I just have to say, hearing y'all talk together, you're an encouragement to me. Just like, I mean, you know, the problem is the burnout and the stress, and you guys are a team. And I hear that teamwork together there of y'all encouraging and supporting each other, and that's just such a beautiful thing to see. But I'd sort of like to end our podcast today a little different than I normally do. I just believe there's people listening who are going through a lot of stress and maybe burnout themselves, and you all have been there and been through it. So if we could end today with you all praying for those people who are, would either one of y'all or both of you who want to pray, and we'll just lift those people before the Lord, and then we'll wrap it up. So would one of y'all or both of y'all pray for those folks?
Sure. I'd love to. Absolutely. Lord, we thank you, Father, that you are intimately concerned about the details of our lives. Every one of them, Lord, you've created, and you love us as your children. God, you tell us in your word that you love to lavish blessing and gifts and the strength of your presence on your children. And we thank you for that, Lord, as we walk through times of trouble that we know are coming, Lord, because you've told us in your word that the path of discipleship is not all roses. It's a hard path to walk in the calling of being your children. And so, God, in light of that, we thank you that you also are constant and faithful, Lord, that you strengthen us with each step in the journey of faith. And God, I pray that as we walk through those tough times, Lord, if anyone's listening to this podcast today who's going through tough times and times of trial where the road ahead is dark and, Lord, it seems like it ends in a brick wall, Father, I pray that you would speak encouragement, speak the truth, Lord, into their life that you are for us, God, that, and if you are for us, then who can be against us? Lord, I thank you. Lord, that your word also tells us that we go through these times of trial as a refining process. And so, Father, help us to lean into those times of trial, knowing that through the patient endurance of our faith and the holding tightly to the hope of our salvation, Lord, that we know that there is a purpose beyond it, that there is a time of refining that leads to a deepening of our walk with you on the other side of those times. And so, Lord, help us to trust in you in these times, Lord. It's hard. It's hard to walk through. And, Lord, the enemy would like for us to have nothing else than discouragement and to doubt and to fear when we walk through these times of trial and hardship. But, God, I pray that you would remind us that greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. And Father, I pray that you'd bind the enemy from casting those doubts in our minds and taking us off course in our walk with you. Father, we want to trust you more. We want to have faith, Lord, more and more in you each day, knowing that Lord, you are going to bless mm-hmm. and that you have a plan for us, even in times of trial, to accomplish your purposes. So God, I pray that you would encourage us today. Lord, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that we have our ultimate hope and victory in him. And we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. And thank you, Dr. Capri Brooks and Dr. Jason Brooks, for joining me on the podcast today. I really appreciate your time.
Thank you for having us.
Absolutely. Anytime.
And thank you, listeners, for joining us today on the Mental Healthy Podcast. We hope you enjoyed this podcast and join us next time. Thanks so much.
Thank you for joining us for another episode of Mental Healthy. Please be sure to subscribe for more episodes and share the podcast with your friends and colleagues. You can find this podcast on all your favorite podcast platforms. We hope you join us next time for more on Mental Healthy.
Music for this podcast is licensed under Creative Commons by Excel Music Publishing at freemusicpublicdomain.com.